15, a very familiar text to us, but hopefully I'm going to show you something else in the text tonight that say the Bible, you know, you just can't wear it out. You can't exhaust it, preach it all over and over again and still see something new. But this text will be familiar to you. Luke 15, Prodigal Son, or what we call the Prodigal Son. It's probably an incorrect title in a way. Verse 11, the Bible says, and he said, Jesus, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou hast never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again tonight and all that's been done already. We pray now that you speak to our hearts, fill us with yourself, fill this place with an awareness of your presence here tonight. We ask you for these things. We know, as we said this morning, we can stand on your word there, Lord, that's your desire to give us these things if we ask. And so I ask tonight for that. Speak to hearts here, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is The Principles of Prodigality. The Principles of Prodigality. You know, I said there's truths in the Bible that we may never come to the end of that. I don't think we ever will exhaust all the truths that's in the Bible, and certainly in our text today. You know, we talked about this as the story of the prodigal son, but actually we see that the father had two prodigal sons there, and I'll show you who might be the main character of the text, right, who the main person might be in the text. I'll show you here in just a little bit. But, you know, we see these two sons that he had. The younger son was a whoremonger. The elder son was a me-monger. The younger son was unrighteous and lawless. The elder son was self-righteous and legal. They both had their set of problems. They both were in a far country of sorts and far away from the loving father. And so I just got 3 points I'll share with you that go with this. Number one, we have the place of the prodigals. The place of the prodigals. You know, I don't know what's the saddest story of the two or which is the saddest case is. The prodigal that's away from his father physically in a far country, wasting all his money on riotous living, or the prodigal that's living right there in the father's house, yet he's in a spiritually, the spiritual picture, far away from what the father would have him to be. It's hard to believe that you could be right there in the presence of a loving father with every need that you have met and all the father has is yours and still be spiritually in a far country. We see, but that exists today. There's people that are in church, every service. They're singing the songs, maybe doing some service for the father, and yet spiritually are still far away from the father. You know, that's a possibility. You can be a prodigal spiritually, mentally, not necessarily geographically, be away from the father. And really, a prodigal means like wasting your substance, sustenance, whatever it is, it's wasting that. But you know, we can waste more than money. We can waste time. We can waste our life. We can waste the gifts that we have, the opportunity that we have. You can waste more than just financial money, things that you have. And so, you know, when we think about that, I think it's easy for us. We actually are related to both prodigals. We are, us. But, you know, we can probably relate to the younger son more easily than the elder son. You know, because if we were, before we were saved, if there was any time before you got saved, we recognize that relationship. You know, we were lost without Christ. We were out in the world. We were away. We can recognize our spiritual distance probably before salvation that we had with God, that we weren't near God. We were away from that. And you know, what were we doing? We were just, you know, wasting money, wasting time, wasting all those things, man. A lot of us, my lifetime, when I was, you know, we were just living for the weekend, man. I mean, just get me to Friday night. I remember one time I got paid at 3:30 on Friday. At 7:30, I had $12 left. I was having fun. 12 bucks. I was in the Navy. They didn't pay you, but every 2 weeks. I had 2 weeks to go with $12 gone. I mean, gas was cheap, but it wasn't that cheap. I had a car, man. I mean, good night. That was it, man, living from paycheck to paycheck, wasn't saving any money, wasn't thinking about it, man. We was just trying to, you know, have enough to have fun on, and that was it. So, you know, we can relate to that as well, you know, but by the grace of God, you know, the Father was looking for us, the Father called to us, He came running to us, with full acceptance and love, and you know, we were saved, and boy, thank God for that. So we can look back, we can relate to that. Most of us can, if we had any amount of time before we got saved. But the elder prodigal, this elder prodigal that's living in the house and stayed there, and it's harder to recognize that prodigality in our life, but it exists. He served the Father faithfully, and he said he had, you know, kept his commandments, whatever the Father's commandments were. But what happened? What were the results of that? The results were that he established his own self-righteousness. See, you can tell because of that. He's looking, as he looks at the younger son, and he's angry about the feast, and he's looking at the younger son, and he's thinking, man, I'm better than him. I mean, he didn't say it that way, but, you know, you didn't do this for me, and I did this, and I stayed here. I'm better than him, is what he's saying. Self-righteousness. See, and that can happen to us as we relate to the elder prodigal. He became critical. He was critical of his brother. He was critical of his father. He criticized everybody. And I'm going to tell you what, this is what happens. I see this a lot. When people get in a far country spiritually, they become critical. They're angry. He was angry. You're angry at? You. Yeah, you're angry at you. But see, you don't realize it. So you want to deflect on everybody. Everybody else has got a problem. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everybody else has got a problem. It's like, boy, if they were all like me, the world would be a better place. this is what he didn't realize that. And so he had this self-righteousness, a critical spirit that always exists when someone's in a far country. And And when things didn't go as he thought, as he should have, it tells us in verse 28 that he was angry about it. Man, there's a lot of people that are supposed to know the Lord, they're in churches, but they got this angry spirit. They're angry about everything. And then it said, look, he wouldn't go in. The father, in verse 28, he said, and he was angry and would not go in. He wasn't going to go into that party. They were celebrating his brother coming back. He wanted to miss out. And that's what happens, you know, cut off your own nose to spite your face. They're having a celebration, man. They got a feast, the fatted calf. I mean, this is great. Huh? But I'm not going in. Huh? See, he's angry about that. This spirit of his is not where it should be. And he pouted because he didn't have a party thrown for him. Actually, he had a pity party, but he was throwing that for his own self. And he didn't have a party there. And so what happens is we see this picture. The father goes out and pleads with him. The father comes to him. All this is a picture of Christ, by the way. He comes to him and pleads with him. Hey, come in. Come in and enjoy the celebration. You know, it's something to celebrate. Was the son right that went into the far country and wasted all of his living? No. But is this son right in not coming into the party and having a critical spirit and being angry with his brother and angry with his father? No. Both are this. But the self-righteous elder son thought he was better than the younger son, and neither case was true. And here he is. The father went out there and pleaded with him, and he was right there in the father's house. But he wasn't enjoying what the father had for him. See, a lot of Christians are right here. A lot of Christians are struggling with this problem. They're saved, but they're spiritually not as where they could be. They're kind of a prodigal in that sense. They're not where they could be. And all the abundance of the father told him, he said, man, you could have had a party. All that I have is yours. But he wasn't enjoying any of it. And see, so all, you know, we got this pie in the sky thought that, you know, well, when we get to heaven, boy, it's all, we can have the pie now. And in the sky.
Amen.
Huh? The old saying, you can have your cake and eat it too, right? Yeah, you're going to have it here and you're going to have it there. He didn't enjoy the love. He didn't enjoy the fellowship. He didn't enjoy all the things that were available. He could have been enjoying that the whole time. He could have enjoyed it right then. He could have went in. But no, see, a lot of Christians, they're still not enjoying all the resources that God has for them in this life. So look at all of his problems. Like I say, I don't know which one's in the worst case. The younger son didn't have an anger problem. The younger son didn't have a pride problem. The younger son didn't have a forgiveness problem. But the elder son had them all. Huh? He was angry. He had pride issue. He had a forgiveness problem. He was mad at his brother and he was mad at his father and he wouldn't forgive him. All the while serving his father and keeping the father's commandments, all that existed in his life. Can that happen? Sure. Man, listen, man, I've been pastoring a long time. I've seen it all, man. Forgiveness problems right in the church. You can preach on forgiveness, and the very person that doesn't have forgiveness sitting over here, Bob, I'm going to hit him now. Yeah, that's right, preacher, tell him. And old so-and-so over there. They got to forgive this problem. They never forgive, man. I tell you what, I'm not going to forgive them for not forgiving. Huh? Huh? Yeah, you know, that's kind of how it boils down to. Huh? You know, I'm mad at them for being mad all the time. Huh? You know, I mean, it gets crazy. It gets like that. And so, it all goes on right here and be right in the church while we're serving God to some capacity. And the elder son living in the father's house, he didn't see himself as a prodigal son. He didn't see himself as being afar off in a spiritual sense. And he was, but he was wasting more than money. He was wasting much more than money. So we see the second point, the power of prodigality, the power of it. You know, this story kind of ends like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Those of you who know, you know, old enough to know Alfred Hitchcock, well, the defining thing of an Alfred Hitchcock movie is they would just end in a weird place and you didn't really know what happened. How many, you know, one of the most famous Alfred Hitchcock movies, and I watch it when I see it, come on, The Birds. Man, I remember being, when that lady was going to go in that farmhouse and her dad or whoever it was wiped out in there with his eyeballs pecked out, man, I tucked my head under the pillows on the couch. Ooh, huh? I was a little kid, man. Huh? But you know, at the end, remember the end? Okay, at the end, that the birds had been attacking the house and the people are all in there, man. They nailed up coffee tables on the doors. The bird things were coming in, and then it all got quiet, man. They look around, and there are all these big old crows. They're all sitting around on the tree limbs and all that. And they get in that old car. Of course, he had a convertible, you know. They get in a car, and they all get in there, and boom, they ease out there. They don't want us, the birds are kind of getting a little restless, and they're sitting around. And they get in the car. And they drive off. That's the end of the movie. You don't know what happened. What happened to all the birds? I mean, did they just quit? Did them people make it? Did the rest of the civilization live? That's an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Well, what happened here? Did the elder son ever come into the party? Did the younger son ever drift back out towards the far country? Did he always stay in the house? I mean, just speculation. It doesn't say. We don't know. It doesn't say what happened. And so we know, when you think about the elder son drifting back, I don't know that he did, but I know the possibilities there. Seen it too many times. Done it too many times. Huh? You know, and we know in our human nature and in our life that the shiny don't last forever, huh? The shiny wears off of everything. Things you buy, relationships, everything in the world, the shiny part of it wears off, and it eventually fades. You know, they didn't have a feast forever. They didn't kill the fatted calf every night and have a party every night. They killed the fatted calf and celebrated, and guess what? It got back to the routine of, and probably everybody in those days, it was agricultural life, farming and all the stuff that you do. You got back to the regular work that you had to do. It wasn't all a mountaintop experience, right? And it's not going to be that way in your spiritual life either. We don't have a mountaintop experience every day. I mean, you're not going to come in here every time and cloud nine and boy, you know, everything's going to be really bumping along, and boy, you just feel in the presence of God and you're just so full of the Spirit, you don't know what, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And you know, and this is where that principle of the power of prodigality comes into play. That far country kind of begins to call to you a little bit, huh? You might slip somewhere, maybe not geographically. You may not slip away, and that can happen too. People can fall out of churches for stretches and stretches at a time. There's been, over my years of pastoring church, there's been people I thought, man, they are plumb slam out gone. And they finally come stumbling back and get out. But you can be gone and frizzled, but you can also be gone spiritually and still be here. You know, you're either on fire for God or you're distant from God. You're just kind of going through the motions. You know, we can do all that. And so sometimes what happens, we heed the call of that far country pulling us either spiritually and even or physically both at the same time. Maybe don't go as far as we did before, but we still get too far for God to bless us. It's the same exact thing. There you go. Huh? Oh, it's working. It's working too much. It was touching me or something, making noise. We start to drift. And sometimes this process happens over and over again. It's, you know, it's the two step forward and one step back, or the one step forward and two step back. You know, it looks like the stock market. Huh? Up and down, up and down, up and down. What is this crazy thing doing? What's it touching? It keeps acting like it's touching me, but I don't feel it. I hear it, though. Right. We're good. And so we might not go as far, but we go back and forth, back and forth. And then we can drift into things like the elder prodigal. We can drift into self-righteousness. We can drift into independence. not really dependent on God, independent of God. And we can go from serving the Father to living in a far country. And you know, that process back and forth, that's a frustrating thing, right? The Apostle Paul talks about it in Romans when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" What was he talking about? Back and forth, on fire, on cloud with God, time falling back towards sin, falling back, getting away from God, drifting back and forth. Huh? How many of you been there? Huh? That's a frustrating thing. And you, well, this time I'm going to do it. This time I'm going to get back and I'm going to get close with God and I'm going to be on fire for God. Huh? And Satan's just going, yeah, watch this. Huh? Watch this. Huh? And he starts calling us, right? And we start slipping. Oh, and then you ever been mad at yourself? You ever been so aggravated with yourself you could just, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Paul got to that point. It's always a picture of somebody doing it in their own strength. That's what he was talking about. He was always doing it in his own strength. That's what he's talking about. And here's the thing about it. Now God's got you right where he wants you. If you can get to that point. If you can get to that question, "Who shall deliver me?" God, this is where God wants you to get. That's, and I always say this. Listen, anytime we do it in our own strength, you have to fail. God has to let us fail. Otherwise, we'll never depend on him. We'll never depend on him. I don't. You may try for years, but you have to fail. And so what happens? We learn that we can't do it ourselves, and we learn that, you know, we've learned that we have been justified. We usually learn that pretty quick, but we have to learn to identify. We have to identify who and what we are, right? Now, look at the young prodigal there. He said, "I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to tell him," he said in verse 19, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. See, he said, "Listen, I just want to identify as a hired servant." You know why? Because the hired servant's got it better than I got. At least I'm not living in a pigsty. And now I can identify with them. I'll go, and at least I'll have food on the table, and I'll have a warm place to stay, and I'll probably have some clothes, and I'm not going to be eating the husk that they feed the swine. That's better than where I was. And see, a lot of people, boy, they just get saved. At least I'm not going to hell. I'm just going to identify as I'm not going to hell. But they're not identifying with everything that they could in Christ. They don't identify with that. They don't get to that place. It's like the elder prodigal living in the father's house but didn't enjoy nothing that the father had for him. I think he could have said, "Hey, pops, I like to throw a party for my friends. What do you think about me killing the fatted cat?" Anywhere along the way in his life. And what do you think his dad would have said? "Sure, everything I got's yours." He already said that. "Everything I got." You could have done that a whole time. Oh, huh? I didn't know that. But see, the younger was willing to settle for just bread and servanthood. And see, an average Christian is willing to settle for the least amount they can get because, you know, that's too much self-life crucifixion to get any more. You know, we don't want to have to give up our will and ourself, and we just want to get saved and avoid hell and, you know, and not really become what Christ wants us to become. It can be so much, you know, better. And so the Father wouldn't have it. I feel like it, man. I'm telling you a bunch of times. Hold on here. Test run. It's sometimes this thing where it goes around your ear, you got to get it tighter, you know, it gets all stretched out. The father said, no, man. He said, listen, I'm put on the best robe. If you wanted to go in another direction with this message, that's a picture of Christ. Put a ring on his finger. If you wanted to go in that same direction, that means ownership. That's what that identifies it. He said, put a ring on his finger. I ain't sure about what the shoes mean. Huh? You don't have to walk around barefooted. That's all I can tell you. Provision, I guess. And he called him a son. He said, no, you're not a servant. You're a son. And I mean, Galatians 4:7 tells us this, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See, the servants of the household weren't going to get any inheritance. Well, he done blew all his inheritance. Oh, he's going to get some more of it. Huh? He's going to work, he's probably going to get another inheritance from him, even though he blew that one. He's still going to have a place. It's still all going to be there. So we don't want to not just be satisfied with being saved. And like I said, man, we can have the pie now and not just in the sky. We can have it. Now we see the last point, the person of the prodigal. We see the father that went out, he was when he saw the younger son coming, he said he saw him afar off. I always bring this up when I usually preach on this text. He saw him a far way off because he was looking for him. He's always looking for him to return. He didn't go dragging him, but he's looking for him to return. And with the older son, though, when he wouldn't come in, the father went out and entreated him. The father came to him and said, hey, come on in. This is what you need to do. It was the father. As a matter of fact, listen, this is what I believe, that the father is the main character of this story, not the sons. I believe the father is the main. He's the only stable force in the whole story. Younger son off and back. The elder son got all kind of issues in the house. But boy, the father was the one that was loving. The father was the one that was looking. The father was the one that was pleading for him to come in. I mean, man ran to him. I believe he's the main character. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, I said this morning, listen, we can't magnify our problems greater than God. Our problems are not, we start focusing on circumstance and problems and we talk about them, and it's okay to pray, but we can't magnify those above worshiping God and magnifying them above God. You know, the Romans tells us to reckon several things. Reckon ourselves dead to sin means grasp that truth of what Jesus has already done on the cross. Reckon yourself alive to Christ, grasping the truth of what the Holy Spirit has already done and does in our life. And what the Holy Spirit does. He centers our affection, our attention on Jesus Christ. That's where he points us to, always to Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that by him we are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It changes us when we focus on Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, that's the verse, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:6 said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Huh? This is it. This is the whole focus. The whole focus we see was really the Father. The younger son reckoned himself to be unworthy. The elder son reckoned himself to be too worthy. And neither one was true. Neither thing was true of that. That's where, because of the father. It was because of what the father said. If it wasn't for the father's love, the younger son would have settled for being a servant. And if it was I like things to come out good. I think when the father went out and entreated the elder son, he probably convinced him to come in. Don't know that, but I think he convinced him to come in. But it was the father that went to him, the father that was looking for him. And it's the same way with us. We're not unworthy. We're not too worthy. You know, God is looking at us, reaching out to us. You know, doesn't want us to be in a far country. Doesn't want us to be a prodigal. I don't know where you stand, but, you know, that's the message for us today. We got to see ourselves. We can relate to both prodigals if we look and examine our life. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, as we said, and help us, Lord. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord. And we're so thankful that you called to us. You came to us, Lord. You were looking for us, and you made us a son. And we're so thankful for that. I pray tonight, it's my prayer as always, if there's somebody that's lost here among us, Lord, that they get saved tonight, become a son. You're calling, you're speaking, we know that. And we'll put this invitation time in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray.